It was such a depiction of God, how he takes us through seasons of breaking. He takes us through seasons where he strips us away from everybody. So it's just us and him. And he can wrestle with us. He can break us to the point where we are so dependent on him. We're so reliant on him. We get to that point in our relationship where it's not just blind obedience, but that we fully understand his heart. When we go through seasons of fire and breaking, we misunderstand his character. A lot of processes that God has taken me through, literally stripping everything. It's so easy to misunderstand his character when we are in hard situations that we feel like we are literally dying in. We can easily characterize the Lord's heart as being cruel, hard, or unloving, or unfair. He will allow us stuck in a room with him, and we're like, no, I don't want to deal with this. I don't want to go through it, because we've been trained the wrong way. Our way of thinking is broken, and he's trying to break us out of that way of thinking.
Rebuilding Ruins is a podcast aimed at tackling heart issues. Let's jump straight to the deep end, because who has time to be sitting in the shallow? We will delve into scripture and use that as our foundational truth, in which we talk all things that have affected women, past, present, and future. So get your tools, ladies. We ride at dawn.
Hey guys, welcome to another episode of Rebuilding Ruins. I'm your host, Amina. Yes, we are still in Virginia. We're just chugging along, conquering territories, making names. We are 15 minutes outside of DC. I love DC. The monuments, the history, it's amazing. We went today to the Capitol, and one theme that I have been noticing is the way they perceive like liberty, freedom, wisdom, and protection is always it's always predicted as a woman. Like the woman is Lady Liberty, Lady Freedom, the lady that stands on the Capitol. And then if you look in the rotunda of the Capitol, you see George Washington at the center, and then you see the 13 maidens that represent the 13 colonies. And they're all, you know, maidens, women. I'm like, oh my gosh, there's like women everywhere. And the women are not as damsels, but in this very powerful position of freedom, liberty, power. And there's the lady that, I forget, she's holding the sword and the shield. And she is defending, you know, the troops, and she's seen as like protector. I was just loving all the women figures of strength and power, and in a position to rescue, to defend, to bring honor. And so many of us have lost that along the way, right? That really needs to be restored, where women are seen as vessels of honor and dignity and strength, and someone to look to as an example. Even in all those depictions, it wasn't like men were inferior and women were pushing forward and taking territory, but it was in tandem, where the woman represented alongside the man
who was pioneering, establishing justice and order, having conversations of revolution.
So it wasn't like the guy was like crying on the floor waiting for, you know, this woman to help him, but she was fighting alongside him. Kind of reminded me a little bit of Deborah, Jael, Esther, you know, all of our girls in the Bible that have been representatives of freedom, of hope, of change, of rebuilding. I could not get enough pictures of the Capitol. I'm like, give me all the pictures, all the different angles. And we got to see like newscasters on the streets. So I'm like, and you know, we're getting all the experience. So it was really cool. So anyways, I thought with the scene, these depictions of women, it made me think about being in the fires of life and how should we respond when we are in the fire? Like we are being tested. I'm breaking it down in syllables because you know that's how you say it to your husband or to your kids. You're like, you are testing me. You know where? Your lips get really tight and shrewd like, and your eyes are bugging out. It's like, don't do it. My goodness, there's so much strength in your identity and knowing what God has called us to, both men and women. And it's not an us versus them or them versus us. It is us celebrating and being in a place of confidence to where we give our significant other, our children, the freedom to express themselves and to blossom and bloom because we are either inspiring them or, you know, giving them the space to like figure things out so that they can, you know, grow their wings and fly and step into their calling and their purpose. I chopped my hair off. I woke up. The song was in my head all night. I had no plans to cut my hair. There was no thinking about this for a couple weeks or whatever. But I woke up and the song was playing in my head. I think I've been stuck on this musical. It's called Of Ashes and I my go-to and it is so stuck in my head. And there's this song and it's about the man who's a leper and he goes to Jesus and he's like, are you willing to heal me, to make me clean? And Jesus responds to him, I am willing. So that's the whole song and it's absolutely beautiful. But you know, it got me thinking that that song was like playing in my mind, you know, are you willing? And, you know, at the end, Jesus tells him, I'm willing, be clean. And, you know, he tells him, leave your past, leave your shame, leave your sin, leave it all and never look back. And that song was playing a lot. Sorry if you guys hear the washer buzzing. But so that song was like playing in my mind and I woke up to it and I just thought, I'm going to cut my hair. I'm just going to cut it. I don't know why, but you know, sometimes you get that urge. I truly believe things that are happening in the spiritual manifest itself in the natural. You know, I have found that to be true in my own life and specific things that we're drawn to or that we're interested in. And I just was like, you know what? I just want to cut off the dead things, you know? And so I'm like, you know what? I'm cutting my hair. And I had looked up a couple YouTube videos. Literally, I cut it and my husband cut it. I'm like, I can't reach back there. Help. So I did it. I cut my hair. It was funny because my 6-year-old, she's like, no, don't cut your hair. You're going to look so different. Oh my gosh, it's going to be scary. I'm like, it's not going to be scary. It's going to be fine. And she was kind of freaking out. So she's like, you're not even going to look like my mom anymore. I'm like, I promise you I am. I'll be fine. Oh my gosh. And so I cut my hair and she's like, oh, okay, I'm cutting mine. I'm next. And so we cut hers too. And then my other daughter's like, yeah, cut my hair too, which I didn't really cut anything off really. I just kind of use my daughter's hair to make it look like I cut her hair because her hair's already pretty short. So we didn't want to go into Traumaville, but It was funny how when you just do something, how it ignites a wildfire, and next thing you know, it inspires change in others. And, you know, next thing you know, my daughters are all wanting to cut their hair. It's funny how when you dare to do something, it ignites change, it inspires. And then it was funny because after I cut my daughter's hair, she's like, you know what? This feels so good. I feel like she's like a teenager and a little kid's body. The influence of my older girls. She's like, I feel like a new woman. I feel so good. So it was a really cute conversation, but it got me thinking about how if we dare to take a risk, if we dare to try, what it will spark in others who witness it. It just made me think of these women, and that's kind of like what was being sparked in me as I was looking at these gorgeous murals, beautiful statues, just of all the women and how they were being depicted as, you know, vessels of honor and freedom and justice. I know that a lot of the influence stems from Greece and, you know, like the goddesses and stuff like that. But even in the Bible, you see in Proverbs, wisdom is depicted as a woman. And woman is also depicted as the harlot. So, I mean, it could go either way. You pick your poison. You can't have both. I'm going to choose wisdom. At least that's what I'm striving for. So, I was thinking about my own trials and things like that. How do we respond in the midst of fire, in the midst of trial? And looking at the depictions of these women. And I know a lot of them are just representatives of freedom, of justice, of these things. But when we think of women like Esther, who was orphaned and had been placed in a really scary situation, and, you know, what her response was like, we had seen one of the statues of Helen Keller, and my daughter, my six-year-old is like, who's that? And I'm like, actually, there's a movie. We should see it later. We get home. We watch the movie Helen Keller. And she could not understand why her teacher, Anne Sullivan, was so hard on her. She was like, she is so mean. Why is she not letting her eat? Why is she kicking the parents away? Why is she getting upset at them if they're giving her treats? I don't understand. And it's like the only way for this teacher to be able to get to Helen, she essentially had to break her. She had to break her of all the behaviors because, you know, there's this scene in the movie where she's going around the dining room table and she's eating off of everybody's plates and just, you know, very feral, the way I eat, eating leftovers off of everybody's plate. My God, I'm Helen Keller. Just realized that. But that's an honor too, right? We all got to start somewhere. But so she's eating off everybody's plate around the table. And she comes to the teachers and the teacher moves her plate. She's like, no, you want to eat. She takes her and she sits her on the chair. And Helen was very abusive, hitting, and she didn't know how to communicate. This was her way of communicating. And her teacher is like, no, you cannot communicate this way. This is not communication. This is going to get you ending up in a mental hospital, because that was the other solution that the parents were going for. And so this teacher was like their only chance, like their only hope at this point, because they just did not, the mom was exhausted. They didn't know how to deal with her. That's a tough situation, dealing with a child who's both blind and deaf. Through the course of this movie, you see this tension between the teacher and Helen, and the teacher is really adamant. Like, she is going, you know, the teacher, the similar past as Helen, where she's also going blind and she's had to undergo 9 eye surgeries, her vision, it's not 100%, but it's good enough. And so she had to endure going through mental hospitals as a child. And she had this mentality where she's like, I do not feel sorry for myself. You cannot feel sorry for your daughter. She can only go as far as you let her go. And as long as you guys keep enabling this behavior, she will never learn how to talk. You are a scene where the father, they're yelling at each other at, you know, the teacher, he's yelling at the teacher's yelling at him. And he's like, do you even love her? And she's like, do you love her? And I was like, ooh, you know, because she's willing to literally wrestle with this girl. She's willing to get hit over and over again to the point to where, you know, she knocks out her tooth in one scene and then gets stabbed with the crochet needles. She's willing to endure whatever it takes to break her of this. And so it comes to a point where she tells the parents, look, I'm going to need you guys out of the picture completely. I have to train her because what's happening is I'm training her to sit down and eat. And it is a full-on battle for me to fight with this girl. Like, it is literally, her hair is disheveled. She's sweating. She's getting it. This teacher is getting it. And the parents are really hesitant to let her go. They're like, I don't know if I can trust you with my daughter. Like, what are your intentions? Are you going to hurt her? Please love her. Like, and that's when she shares her story about what she endured, and she does not want that for Helen. And she's like, I need her to myself. I need her. There's a scene where she tells the parents, I need her to be completely dependent on me. She needs to depend on me for her food. She needs to depend on me for her water. She needs to depend on me for her clothes. She needs to depend on me for everything. If she knows she has you guys, she will never break out of this. She needs to be completely dependent on me for this to work. And so the parents hesitantly give her control. She has 2 weeks to make this happen. And so she takes it, and she endures so much in these 2 weeks, but she's adamant. She wants Helen to succeed, and she can't quite get her to make the connection between the word. Like, everything has a word. Tree has a word. Water has a word. She's trying to get her to connect that this is water. This is tree. But Helen will just sign words. She knows words. And she doesn't want her to just be blindly obedient, just doing what she wants her to do. She wants her to have an understanding. Oh my gosh. I needed to see this movie. It was such a depiction of God, how he takes us through seasons of breaking. He takes us through seasons where he strips us away from everybody. So it's just us and him. And he can wrestle with us, and he can break us to the point where we are so dependent on him, and we're so reliant on him. And we get to that point in our relationship where it's not just blind obedience, but that we fully understand his heart. And it was such a beautiful thing, because at the end of the movie, as rough as this teacher was, and I mean, it was at a point where Helen did not even want to go by her. She did not want the teacher to touch her. At the end of the movie, Helen would be sleeping in the bed, and she'd be doing sign language while she's sleeping. And the teacher she can't even touch her because she knows Helen's going to start freaking out. And she just kind of just cups her hand, like, right under, like, she so desperately wants to be affectionate with Helen and love on her. But she knows that if she touches her, she's going to freak out, and then we got to start all over again. And isn't that like with God? When we go through these seasons of fire and these seasons of breaking, and we misunderstand his character the same way Helen was misunderstanding this teacher's character. She felt like this teacher was mean and horrible because she was so used to this enablement. She was used to being rewarded for bad behavior. She was used to getting away with things. And Helen interpreted that as love. That was love for her, being able to get away with things. And when that teacher saw that, she's like, that's not love. Because what you're doing is you're crippling your daughter. You are another disablement to your daughter. And she's not going to thrive. And this world is a tough place. And she needs to know how to survive in this world. She needs to learn how to dress herself, how to eat, you know, how to do things for herself and not be so dependent. It's amazing because those are a lot of processes that God has taken me through. Literally stripping everything. And it's so easy to misunderstand his character when we are in these really hard situations that we feel like we are literally dying in. And we can easily characterize the Lord's heart as being cruel or hard or unloving or unfair and all these things. And just like Helen was misunderstanding the teacher's ways, Helen kept doing this sign for her mom where she would just go like this. And that was her sign that she wanted her mom. And she's like, no, I'm going to teach you. She knew that if the mom were in the picture, the mom, she was so soft for her daughter. I get that. Oh, especially having a child with special needs. I get it completely. And this mom's heart was so soft to her daughter. She would just give her daughter anything because she pitied her daughter. And her teacher, Anne, tells her, do not pity your daughter. You cannot pity her. That is going to be your downfall and it will be hers. And she told her, you need to learn how to sign because once I'm done teaching her, you need to know how to communicate with her. Like I can't be the only source for her of communication. Everybody has to learn this. And that is the way it is with the Lord. He will allow us to go through seasons where we are stuck in a room with him and we're like, no, I don't want to deal with this. I don't want to go through it because we've been trained the wrong way. Our way of thinking is broken and he's trying to break us out of that way of thinking. He wants us to be able to think the right way, the new way. And sometimes that takes kicking and screaming. But when we come out of that, our mindsets have shifted and we begin to see God in a different way because now we come out as warriors. It's amazing when you can share your story and people are in awe like, wow, you endured that. You survived that. Yeah. And you know, you bring hope to other women. And that is the beauty of going through trials because here you have this little girl. The odds are stacked against her, blind and deaf. And went on to write 12 books, be the first to graduate college. It's no small feat. She was an advocate for people with disabilities. So it's incredible what happens when we don't pity ourselves. It's God's heart that we are women that are empowered and experiencing breakthrough and understanding his heart, his character, his nature. And that was the whole beautiful part about this movie. Because at the end, after all the fighting, Helen just cuddles up next to her and just loves being by her. And her teacher is able to finally hold her and embrace her and show her all the things that I put you through was not because I hated you. It wasn't because I was trying to strip anything away from you. It's because I was trying to empower you. It was because I was trying to equip you. And that's the whole beautiful thing. That teacher did the hard things to empower and equip Helen. And she went on to be with her for like, I think it was like another 50 years. And she was the one sitting next to her in college and helping her doing the sign language in her hand while she was learning. And that is where God wants us. He wants us so dependent on him because without her teacher, she would never have been able to accomplish what she accomplished. And it's the same thing with God. Without him, we can do nothing. We can't accomplish anything. We can't find our identity, our purpose, we will just be a bunch of bumbling, fumbling fools, learning, asking him in those hard seasons, God, please, how can I see you? Who are you? Who are you? Are you doing this to be cruel? This is our time to wrestle with the Lord, to find out what his nature is and who he is. In James 1:2, to count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. Yes, count it all joy. And blessed is the man that remains steadfast under trial. For when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life, which God has promised to those who love him. See, these are a lot of positive emotions that are to be associated with trials and testings. And it's the same thing with Helen. When you see the movie, you're like, oh, she definitely needs some structure because she's feral. And you see this complete harsh breaking that is so difficult, but it is so necessary. So I can see why in James it says, blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial. Or in James 1:2, where it says, count it all joy when you meet trials of various kinds. And we see in James 1:3 that the testing of our faith produces steadfastness. So everything we are enduring, it's to produce something in us. Just like everything Helen Keller endured was to produce her to be empowered and equipped to be able to handle life and to be able to navigate life being both blind and deaf. But she was unwilling to learn. She did not want to be teachable. And so it took a breaking in order for her to submit to the teacher. And a lot of times we have to go through the breaking because why? We're so used to doing things in our own strength and our own power. When we've been put in situations throughout our lives where we've had to be the ones to be in control, be self-sufficient, be independent. And God puts us through these seasons where we have to be so broken to the point where we have to depend on him. Or if we continue on this way, we are going to self-destruct. And he sees, he knows our end from the beginning. He knows that if we continue on this path the same way that Helen Keller's teacher knew, if she continues this way, she's going to end up in a mental hospital. And I've been there. And trust me, you do not want that for her. She would rather be the bad guy for a time and season because Helen was surrounded by all the enablers. God wants us women who have gone through situations that have caused us to build walls, to isolate, numb ourselves. How many of us have been in relationships where being able to express ourselves was frowned upon? And now we're like, oh my gosh, I don't even know if I know how to articulate my feelings. Or we've been in relationships where we've been deprived of love. And now we don't even know what real love looks like or real devotion looks like. Because if we did, we wouldn't be living in a culture where abortion rates are high, divorce rates are high, getting pregnant outside of wedlock is high. Why? Because a lot of us women, we don't know how to love right. So you know what? A lot of times we settle for whatever we can get. If that means that we don't get a ring on our finger, then a lot of us are willing to settle for that. Having something is better than having nothing. And sometimes God allows us to just go through these hard breaking process where he's trying to strip us of our desire for control, strip us of our inclinations of self-preservation, strip us of the hurt and the pain that has been inflicted in us and force us to deal with it, to rid us of bitterness and anger and unforgiveness. And so he takes us through these processes of these tough seasons that are death, that feels like. But he's doing it because he knows what the alternative is. And he wants our hearts to be soft. He wants, if you've never had a provider in your life, he wants to be your provider. If you've never had someone who has shown you real, meaningful love, he wants to be the one to show it to you. If you've been robbed of a father, He wants to be your father. If you've been betrayed by family members, he wants to be there. He wants to be there to show you, you do not have to protect yourself, because the way that we're doing it is wrong and it's damaging ourselves. And our daughters are seeing this, our sons are seeing this, and they're thinking, this is how we survive, or, you know, we're passing down our emotions on them and it's causing them damage. And so it's preventing us from really healing. I see the blessing in it. I don't see it at the time. I sure as heck don't like it. And at the time, you're not saying, wow, this is really a blessing, because I'm definitely counting this all joy right now while everybody is talking bad about me right now and God's telling me to be silent. So yeah, this does not feel like a blessing right now. But we could see things through the eyes of God. If only we could see what his heart is in it. This is the time to press in closer to him and not run away from him and not put up our defenses. And this is the time to start thinking rightly. This is the time that he's trying to break our mindset from harmful ideals and practices that we have been carrying along with us since the time we were kids, or have exited out of hard situations in life. It's because he's trying to bring something new in our life, but he can't give us the new thing if we don't know how to steward it. He can't give us the blessing. Like Ann Sullivan could go ahead, Helen Keller's teacher, and yes, I'm going to keep referring to this movie because I am a visual learner. And when I saw this movie, I'm like, oh my, you know, when you just gotta, you just start doing the ugly cry, like, I get it. I'm seeing it. I'm seeing what my season was all about. You know, you're just like, oh God, this is, she could go ahead and buy her all those new garments. But Helen Keller was not in a place to receive that, because even if she dressed her up in the most beautiful garments, she was constantly getting dirty. She did not want to stay clean. She was just constantly unkept. So you don't see the change in attire until the change in behavior, till she's able to steward what's being given to her. When God wants to give us something, he's like, I need to make sure that you can hold and carry what I'm about to give you. And you're not going to be able to do it with the way you protect yourself, with the unforgiveness you're holding on to, bitterness, because it's robbing from you. And we think that we have to hold on to being angry and being bitter, or the need for control. Oh my gosh, that's such a big one. Because when we've been in so many situations where we have not been in control, or control has been in the wrong hands, whether it was a father, a mother, a boyfriend, a husband, whatever that has let you down, and you're like, I can never put myself in that position again where I am not in control. And now you're just trying to control every situation. We can't. Now we're partaking off the devil's table, and he's offering heaping spoonfuls of this stuff for us to eat. And it's keeping us bound. It's keeping us in a place of paranoia. It can keep us living in a state of fight or flight constantly. We're not in a relaxed state because we're like, I don't know who's going to screw me over again. The mindset holds us back. And sometimes we're even open to bad things happening to us. If we've done bad things, whether it's get an abortion or had lived a promiscuous life or whatever it is, and you're beating yourself up about it, now you've welcomed any bad thing that happens to you. And God's like, no, I can't take you to the promised land with that mindset. The same way that God couldn't take the Israelites into the promised land with the mindsets that they had, where they were not trusting God. They believed that there was no way they were going to be able to defeat the Canaanites that were living in that land. Because of their mindset, they didn't get to inherit their promise. And for a lot of us, our parents had those mindsets, and they didn't inherit their promise. And now the baton has been passed to us, and God's like, okay, are you ready to take the land? Because I'm about to give you this victory. Will you trust me? And so there has to be this absolute, strong, resolute partnership with God. We have to link arms with him and fully trust in him, even though we may be a little hesitant. Look, not always are we going to have the feelings of like, oh yes, I totally trust God. Oh yes, I totally believe everything he's saying. No, the feelings don't always come. It doesn't. But as you continue to walk into it and you begin to see God constantly being there for you, your confidence grows. That is part of the changing, because in those seasons, those dark, deep, dark seasons, is when he is revealing his heart. And he is ready to wrestle us to the ground so that we can experience freedom. Because so many of us are holding on. But then he'll get to a point, just like in the movie, the teacher gave the ultimatum to the parents, because there was a scene where after the 2 weeks, Helen was completely broken down, and now she is testing her parents to see if they're going to revert and give in to what she wants, or if they're going to hand her over to her teacher, and the teacher is going to continue this battle. So she starts throwing things on the floor to test them. And the mom holds her and she's like, no, I just really wanted something special. I made a special meal for her. This is supposed to be a celebration. And there was this crossroads where the teachers and Sullivan tells the parents, if you don't hand her over to me, I'm done, because this is only going to continue the cycle, and I'm not going to keep pouring myself and giving myself to her, and it's just all going to be undone. And you see this moment where she's just really like, oh God, she's right. And she hesitantly just hands her daughter over and just quickly removes herself from the room, because this is so hard on her. She's just, she had set herself up for this amazing celebration that wasn't happen, that didn't end up happening. And, you know, the teacher's like, this is, let's see, are you going to submit? And that was the whole thing. Are you going to submit to God? Are you going to submit to your Father, what he has for you? Are you going to submit when he asks you to let go of the people that have hurt you? Are you going to submit when he puts it on your heart to maybe not even just forgive? Maybe he wants you to even ask for forgiveness and you don't fully understand why. Are you willing to let go of the relationships that are holding you back? Are you ready to fight for what he has for you? It's not easy. It's not easy, but it is worth it. It is worth it. It wasn't easy when our forefathers decided, you know what? We're either going to live under a tyrannical and oppressive government, or we're going to break free. And an 8-year revolutionary war was not easy. It was not easy on our country, on our people. It resulted in tons of casualties. One thing I see everywhere in DC is freedom is not free. There is a price that has to be paid for freedom. And we have Jesus to thank that he paid our price for freedom. And when people have injected their poison in us over the course of years and it's seeped into our mind and into our actions, he's trying to suck that poison out of us so that we can experience the freedom that he died for us to have. And that takes the same resolute mindset and determination that Daniel had when he went ahead and decided to not eat from the king's table and instead give himself over to prayer and fasting and trusting the Lord, because he is taken into captivity now, stripped away from his parents, stripped from his culture, given a new name. I mean, that's wrong. And that's what he wants to do. He wants to strip us of everything. He wants to give us a new name, a new identity, just like the adulterous woman. She shouldn't even be called the adulterous woman. There's something that resonates with so many of us women when we hear that story. When we hear her being in such a vulnerable and compromising situation, and you have one side who's willing to kill her, and the other side, which is one person, Jesus Christ, who is ready to save her. If we don't know the heart of the Father, not only do we need to pray, and it is so encouraging to hear other people's testimonies and see what God has brought them out of and the pain that they had to endure along the way, and that they were going to finally get to inherit what God has for them. It makes it all worth it. Reading about who he is, who the man Christ Jesus is, what his mission was, and it will help for us to not misinterpret his ways when he takes us through those seasons that are freaking fire. When he takes us through those seasons of fire, right? We know, based off the stories I've read, based off of what he has done in my life, based off of who he has revealed himself to be. And oh my gosh, I would totally recommend that you guys see that movie. I think it will really help you understand the heart of God, in the sense that what he's trying to strip and the reason why he is willing to wrestle with us and battle with us, it's because he wants us to be free. So maybe one day when we enter into heaven, there will be our stories told. And just like when we go into DC, we see all the statues of Lady Liberty and Lady Freedom and Justice. Let that be us. Let that be the legacy we leave behind, like Sojourner Truth and Harriet Tubman and Rosa Parks and all these women that decided to do the hard things in that moment to bring an inheritance to the next generation. Romans 12:2, do not be conformed to this world. And it's easy to be conformed to this world, like I said, when we've been through tough situations that have resulted in people burning us, hurting us, betraying us, abandoning us. That conforms us. It molds us. And God tells us, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. And that's when sometimes the breaking happens. And sometimes you can experience breakthrough and have a special grace, maybe where it's not so painful. But no matter what, it always feels freeing. That by testing, you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Just like for Helen Keller, she was finally able to discern the heart of her teacher, what her intent was for her always, that it wasn't to strip things away from her. It wasn't to be mean. It wasn't to deprive her of food or fun. It was to empower and equip her. And all those seasons of fire and breaking is meant to do that, empower and equip you for what God wants to deliver to you, for what he wants you to inherit. And we can't if we are stuck in old mindsets. So that is my prayer. Father, I pray that we will not be conformed to this world, but that we will be transformed by the renewing of our mind. That by testing, we may discern what is the will of God, that what is good and acceptable and perfect. Father, I pray that we would see our situation through your eyes and not ours. For your thoughts are not our thoughts. Your ways are not our ways. as high as the heavens are above the earth, so are your thoughts above our thoughts. So may we not try to measure our situations, our standards, what we are going through in our feeble minds, but may we measure them against what is good and acceptable in your sight, not in our sight. Because what is good to us and acceptable to us, and even the love that we experience, has been tainted by so many people that we don't even know what goodness and purity and love is in its true form. So Father, we ask that you will reveal that to us, and you will show us that we will not be even a hindrance to our own selves, that we will not sabotage our own healing. But Father, help us to have submissive hearts to you, that when we hear you calling for us to come to you, we will run. We will strip off every weight that so easily entangles us and dive into your arms, knowing that you have the best things in store for us. God, may we see you as our Father first more than anything. May we know you as that. Father, we thank you for this time. I pray you bless my listeners. I pray you empower and equip them for the mission that you have called them to. In your name we pray, amen. Guys, I thank you so much for joining me on today's episode of Rebuilding Ruins, and I pray that you continue to rebuild your ruins. You guys have a good week.